You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. Governor Snyder delivered his fourth State of the State address Thursday night. The Republican governor called Michigan the comeback state and talked up the economy, saying Michigan has come a long way from the dark days of the Great Recession. Not surprisingly, though, Democrats didn't quite agree, highlighting cuts to education spending and the state's earned income tax credit. Let's take a deeper dive into the speech now with Chad Livengood, Lansing reporter for the Detroit News. Welcome, Chad.
Thanks for having me.
And we welcome back to the program Chris Gouts, who's Capitol correspondent for Crain's Detroit Business. Hey, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
So many political pundits said this speech felt kind of like a report card, with the governor taking a look back at the last 3 years that he's been in office and highlighting his accomplishments. Chad, is that a fair analysis?
Oh, sure. I mean, this is the time to do it. He is facing re-election this year, although he hasn't officially announced. All signs point that he will ask the voters for a second term, so this is a good time to give an address, talking about all the great things that he believes he's done for the state since he took office.
And Chris, do you think a lot of that was simply because this was an election year, that if it was not an election year, we might have heard a different thrust?
No, I don't think so. You know, when the governor came, you know, when he started, you know, his whole thing in that very first State of the State address, you know, he said, this is not going to be a cheerleading rah-rah type of speech for me, you know, during my term. You're going to hear a report card. I'm going to lay out, you know, this first year, we're going to decide what metrics we're going to measure. And then each year I'm going to come back to you and I'm going to tell you exactly what we did good on and what we still need to work on. And so I think from that perspective, I think, you know, it was kind of more of the same. But like Chad said, this is an election year. And so he was talking about the things that they've done the last 3 years and to try to set the stage for, you know, for the fall and the coming fight. Because while he hasn't announced, you know, this was his fourth State of the State address, but I don't think it was a surprise to anyone that he hopes and plans next January to be giving his fifth State of the State address.
You know, in the few days since the speech, there has been some debate about what Governor Snyder said about education spending. Now, in his speech, he said funding has increased $660 per student under his administration. But Democrats pretty quickly cried foul over this number. So, Chad, what's going on here?
Well, to quote Tim Grimmel, the House Democratic leader, you have to go through some, quote, fiscal gymnastics to arrive at that number. You have to back out the amount of money that was in the per-pupil funding prior to Governor Snyder taking office that came from the 2009 federal stimulus law that essentially helped bail out schools and helped keep teachers employed a couple more years longer during the recession. So that money went away, and then the governor started increasing the funds. And then also you have to add into that number, almost half of it is actually money that the school districts aren't getting directly. Their bills are being paid for teacher and school employee pensions. So that's one of the complaints among the school lobby is like, look, you know, our per pupil money isn't going up like they're saying it is. That's true. Their foundation grant hasn't gone up as much, but they're getting, instead of the money going to them and them paying pension fund, the state is just essentially cutting out the middleman transfer, so to speak, and paying the bill.
Is this one of those cases, Chris, where politicians are using numbers in the equations that work best for their message, that kind of depending on how you do the math and what you count and what you don't, it can really change what the real answer is?
Well, sure. I mean, that's what politicians do. I mean, and this is probably the issue that's going to be the most confusing for voters, because they're going to hear things from both sides that are going to sound right factually from most, I would say most times, that both sides are going to be right. It's one of those weird issues where you can really lay out the numbers and be factually correct and from on both sides. And so it's going to be incredibly difficult for voters. I think the key is going to lie not in the overall message, but in the individual circumstance. And so if your school has a larger class size and your school lost it, some of its extracurricular things, or it lost its librarian, or it lost its art class, that's where you're going to feel it, and you're going to have a different perspective as opposed to, you know, the millions of dollars that are going to be spent trying to win over the argument of whether or not Governor Snyder and Republicans have cut education funding or if they have, you know, put more into it.
Can we assume that we're going to hear a lot about education funding as the race for governor heats up?
Oh, sure. And if average voters think it's confusing, journalists think it's confusing too. I mean, there's no subject where funding gets more murky than schools. Almost every school had a different number based on a whole host of equations on property tax and other tax revenues. And one example is in Livonia schools, their per pupil foundation grant went up $5 last year. But the legislature and the governor cut a grant that they created in 2011 to encourage so-called best practices in their management, consolidation of services. And by cutting that grant in this budget cycle, they lost $47 per student. So they're actually down negative 42. So it is, like Chris said, it's going to vary district by district about the real true fiscal impact on schools.
That was Chad Livengood, who's the Lansing reporter for the Detroit News, and he's joined by Chris Gout, capital correspondent for Crane's Detroit Business, as we deconstruct the fourth State of the State address from Governor Snyder this past Thursday night. Let's shift over to transportation, and we heard the governor again pushing for a fix to the state's roads and crumbling infrastructure. Now, we know in the past the governor said he wants that additional $1.2 billion annually for fixes. What did the governor have to say about that in this address? It seemed kind of light on ways to pay for what he wants, Chris.
Yeah, it sure did. It was one of a host of issues where he didn't really spend any time at all talking about things, and transportation was definitely one of them. It was not the major push that he gave in 2013 for transportation. And so what he did talk about was, the $250 million that's going to go more this year, which to sort of a general audience that might listen to the State of the State address, and that's all they really, pay attention to politics, at this time of the year, that sounds like a big number. But as the MDOT director said, you spread that out over the thousands and thousands of miles that MDOT has to maintain, it's really just a drop in the bucket.
Was some of that just the fact that he got nowhere with the proposal he made for that $1.2 billion a year ago? So was he just kind of saying, okay, ball in your court, legislature?
Yeah, I think a little bit of that. He continues to put it back in their lap, and he also just learned a lesson. If you throw out a huge number, they may not come through for you. He did drop hints that, and he has continued to drop hints that some of this stimulus or the surplus, this roughly $971 million over 3 years, that he wants to put some of that sort of one-time money into road projects. So I think you will probably see that come out in his budget address on the 5th of February.
Let's talk about some of the new proposals we heard about, beginning with immigration. And we've heard this governor calling himself one of the most pro-immigration governors in America. And with that, he called for the creation of the Office for New Americans. What will this office do, Chris?
Well, that's a good question. And we've been trying to get some more details out of the governor's office, and I haven't had great success yet. But basically, he had this he had the MEDC and the Department of Civil Rights last year really look at, every way in which the federal immigration system touches the state of Michigan. And it's many different, ways. And so they came up with this report, and they decided that they wanted to create this new office, which will sort of be a clearinghouse for when there are issues. But it sounds like it's going to be more of an advocacy type office where they're going to hear about issues and they could take those to maybe the congressional delegation or have that at the ready if the governor goes to Washington or if he wants to really push this, because it is at the end of the day a federal issue. Mm-hmm. But I think there are some things that he wants to do, and I think just having the office itself is sort of a positive in his mind, because he's trying to make the case that Michigan is welcome to immigrants, but he really has to spend the time to make the case to the general public what he's talking about in terms of these well-educated immigrants that are being, that are learning engineering at U of M and Michigan State, and then they have to leave once they graduate. He's trying to make the case for that and get people away from thinking about immigration as just people coming over the border in Texas and, in Arizona, and get that out of their minds. And so I think part of that is what he hopes this new office is going to do.
Kind of change the parameters of the conversation. But Chad, how is this sitting with Snyder's fellow Republicans as far as you can tell?
They haven't really made much comment on it. I mean, they probably are going to defer to him that he knows a little more about this as far as his overall agenda in attracting better talent to the state than some of them they may. But he also has made it another way he's kind of framed it is this could be a way to repopulate Detroit in some ways, try to get more immigrants legally entering the country to consider moving to Detroit. He's kind of been dropping that hint in the last couple of days. And so there may be a larger strategy here at work that hasn't quite unfolded.
Mm. Now let's go back to education, because that is such an overwhelmingly important topic to so many in Michigan. It was a big theme. And this year, like he did in the last State of the State address, he called for another big investment in early childhood education, recommending an additional $65 million to eliminate that waiting list for low-income children who want to get into preschool. Chris, do you think this additional money is going to get past the legislature?
Oh, absolutely. And I'd be surprised if there was a single vote against it. It's pretty hard, to vote against something like this. It sounds really good, and it is a really good thing. And Democrats see it as a positive, too. One negative that they had about it was the way it was funded this year, and they say taking money for out of K-12 and taking for that $65 million to apply it to this program. Gretchen Whitmer, the Senate Minority Leader, was making the case after the State of the State address that if he was really serious about making a true investment, it would be $65 million new dollars, not just taking it from one pot of overall education money and putting it to this, but really making a separate investment.
On Thursday night, I thought one of the biggest, most lively rounds of applause came when the governor called on lawmakers to pass a resolution urging Congress to pass a balanced budget amendment that would basically amend the U.S. Constitution and force the federal government to balance its budget. What's behind this? Why is he pushing for this?
Well, we're not really sure about that either, to be honest. That was kind of as one person said, out in right field. It didn't fit with this governor. And I kind of questioned, he routinely says, when he gets asked about something Washington's doing, he says, look, I just like to stay in my lane and I stick to, governing the state of Michigan. So that seemed like way outside of Rick Snyder's normal lane. But it got a huge applause from his Republican colleagues. And some people around the country kind of took notice of that, which that might have been why he was doing that.
Chris, I know some Democrats have said this is just politics and that Snyder's trying to score political points here.
That was the that was the immediate reaction. And to some extent, that's what we hear around the country when this is brought up. But I mean, it's something that sounds pretty easy to grasp. And so I think the problem for Democrats is going to be if they're really going to make this sort of an issue that this is just an example of the governor being extreme or pandering to the right wing, they're going to really have to explain to people why they think it's wrong to have a balanced budget. I mean, most people that balance their checkbooks, they would understand that you need to have an imbalance. And so, obviously, if they really want to make this an issue, that they really need to make sure that they're not on the losing side of an argument that from some people, unless they really understand it, really take the time to look at the nuance of it, to think, well, shouldn't that be obvious? Like, shouldn't everyone be balancing have a balanced budget?
Right.
Let's talk about Detroit for the little bit of time we have left. I think a lot of people were expecting to hear more, considering everything that has happened in the past year in Detroit. But there wasn't too much meat in that address about Detroit. Did you think? And I'll ask you that first, Chad, as a Detroit news writer.
Yeah, I mean, the governor has spent a lot of time and political capital in the last year installing an emergency manager in Detroit, authorizing the bankruptcy, showing up in court himself, and testifying unusual, unprecedented event. And yet he spent a very passing moment about on Detroit and said he didn't want to dwell on it. There's been some criticism that he could have taken a better opportunity here to sort of level with Michiganians about the reality of Detroit's bankruptcy, maybe without even getting into this idea that he has floated around the legislators to put money into a fund that would help shore up the pensions and be part of a global settlement to try to settle the bankruptcy as quick as possible.
Chris, last word, anything you wanted to add on what we didn't hear about Detroit?
Well, I think there were a number of things. In terms of, like you said, he didn't spend much time talking about Detroit. He spent all of 12 seconds talking about energy policy, which was just non-existent. He didn't talk about the DIA. He didn't talk about what to do about Detroit pension retirees. He didn't talk about no-fault insurance or the minimum wage or the L.A. Larson Civil Rights Act. But I think in terms of Detroit, I think people were hoping that, he might say a little bit more. You know, the state of the state is supposed to be a positive address. And so if you just leave out Detroit, I mean, is that sending sort of subliminal message that there isn't a positive story to tell there? I would think that the governor would obviously disagree with that. He spends so much time talking about everything positive that's going on in the city. But to give it such short shrift, I think made a lot of people question, you know, why that was.
That was Chris Gouts, Capital correspondent for Crain's Detroit Business, and he was joined by Chad Livengood, who's the Lansing reporter for the Detroit News. As always, great talking to you guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.